Well, amen. What a joy it is to gather together for worship with you. And always a joy of mine to open up God's Word. So take your Bible this morning and open to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We are now at the conclusion of this letter written by the Apostle Paul. I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 18. Galatians 6, beginning in verse 11. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Come to the end of the letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. And as we come to a close and as we come to the end, we are reminded of the main and central truths of this letter. We come back to the main themes that Paul has emphasized throughout this letter. And as you know, the main point and the main theme and the main emphasis is freedom in Christ. We see that in chapter 5 in verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, that we can be saved and we can be delivered from the judgment and the wrath of God and the dominion and the power and the enslavement of sin. And there's only one way to be set free, and that is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That is the only way by which we can be set free, the only way by which we can be reconciled to God, the only way by which we can have and receive eternal life, the only way by which we can be justified or declared righteous by God. It is through faith in the risen Christ. This letter is all about Christ. It is all about his glory. And once again, Paul emphasizes that as he concludes Galatians. In fact, the entire theme of the Bible is salvation. From Genesis 3 and the fall of man to the book of Revelation and the consummation of all things, the Bible is about redemption and salvation in Christ. This means that the theme of the entire Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. As Steve Lawson explains, the Old Testament says he's coming. The Gospels say he's here. The book of Acts proclaim him. The epistles explain him. And Revelation says he's coming again. This is the Bible in a nutshell. So when you think about the entirety of Scripture, the main theme, the main emphasis, the main focus is salvation that comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ to the glory of God. That is to say that all of Scripture testifies to Jesus Christ. That does not mean that Jesus is in every verse or in fact every chapter of the Bible, but he is the very theme of Scripture. And Paul, as he writes Galatians, wants us to know this, that all of life is about Christ, all about the one true gospel and giving glory to Christ because of who he is and what he has done in our place. So Paul, as you know, in this letter was very perplexed because of the false teachers who had come into the churches in Galatia who were distorting the truth, distorting the gospel, mocking the Lord Jesus Christ, mocking the cross. And now he comes to a close and to a conclusion, and once again writes to the Galatians to abandon a false gospel and receive the one true gospel and to glorify Jesus Christ. He is so perplexed. In fact, notice in verse 11, he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." Some say Paul could have written the entire letter to the Galatians. As you know, he didn't write his own letters. He would dictate them and he would sign them at the end. But some believe he wrote this letter and he had poor eyesight and that's why he's writing with large letters. Or most likely, as he comes to the end of this letter, he writes the conclusion himself because he's so perplexed, and he's writing with large letters to emphasize once again the importance of what he is saying. And for a last time, that these Galatians would hear what he is saying to them about the gospel. He is getting their attention. And what Paul writes in this last concluding section is very simple. You either are going to glorify yourself or you are going to glorify Christ. You are either going to live for yourself or you're going to live for Christ. You are going to boast in yourself or you are going to boast in Christ. This is really what it comes down to. And the way that Paul demonstrates this is by showing to us that these false teachers are living for themselves and living for their own glory and leading the Galatian believers astray, leading them away from Christ, leading them away from the truth. And Paul once again emphasizes to them to not go in this direction. Don't go this way. He's been telling them all throughout this letter, come back to Christ, come back to the truth. And you remember what these false teachers, as they came into these multiple churches in Galatia, were saying. We read this in Acts 15:1. This is what they had been teaching and what they had been saying. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Unless you obey the Mosaic law, you cannot be saved. Sure, they would say Christ died on the cross, he rose from the dead, that you need to believe in him, but that is not enough. You need to add works to be able to be reconciled to God. In other words, what they were saying and what they were teaching was the cross was not enough. It is the cross plus works that equal salvation. So they infiltrated these churches and were telling these Galatian believers that they were not saved, that they were not reconciled to God, that they did not belong to the church, that they needed to add works in order to have and achieve true salvation. But really, it was all about them. It was all about their own glory. And it's the same for you and it's the same for me. Either you live for your own glory or you live for the glory of Christ. So I want you to see that. I want you to look with me this morning at the motives of these false teachers. Why were they doing this? Why were they saying to the Galatians that you must be circumcised in order to be saved? What was the motivation behind all of this? And we've seen some of it in this letter, but notice in verse 12. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised. They are there to make a good showing in the flesh. This was all about looking good on the outside. They wanted the praise of men. They wanted to be honored. They wanted to be glorified. It was not about Christ. It was all about them. It was all about living for themselves. They may have looked good on the outside, but as Jesus said to the religious leaders, you are dead on the inside. You are full of dead men's bones. False teachers are motivated by pride. They want to get all of the attention. They want all of the praise. Paul says of them in chapter 4, go back there for a moment. And again, Paul is just re-emphasizing these themes at the end. But remember in chapter 4 and verse 17, he said of these false teachers, they eagerly seek you, but they don't do so commendably. And then notice, they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. They do everything to make much of you, to win you over, and to win your affections. But what they're doing is not commendable. They're not honest. They are liars. They are deceivers. They're doing everything so that you will seek them and follow them while they lead you astray. They want to shut you out. That is to shut you out of the kingdom. These are evil, wicked men. You remember even back in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says of them, they are disturbing you, and they want to distort the gospel of Christ. This is what is behind their motivation. They want the praise of men. They want honor. They want recognition. All the while, they want to distort the gospel of Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 4, it was because of the false brothers who were secretly brought in. They had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Why? In order to bring us into bondage. They want to distort the gospel of Christ. They want to bring you into bondage. They want to shut you out of the kingdom. They want, as Paul says, to isolate you from us so they can just win you over, take you captive by their false teaching, and so by doing, shut you out of the kingdom of God. Shut you out from being free in Christ. Shut you out from the blessing that is yours in Christ. Jesus says the same things about the false teachers. I want you to turn with me to John 5. False teachers are full of pride. They want all the glory for themselves when that glory belongs to Christ. In John 5, the religious leaders, even at this point, want Jesus dead. It says that in verse 18. The Jews, these religious leaders, were seeking all the more to kill Jesus because he was not only breaking the Sabbath according to them, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. They hate Christ. They want nothing to do with Christ. All they want to do is kill him. And this is their Messiah. But look down at verse 39. Listen to what he says of these false teachers, of these religious hypocrites. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But it's these that testify about me. And listen to this. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. You will not come to me. You're searching the scriptures. You're trying to find eternal life in them, but you don't recognize and you don't see that the entirety of the scriptures point to me. I am the Messiah. I am the Lord. I am the Savior, but you're unwilling to come to me. Why? Jesus says in verse 41, I do not receive glory from men. I do not receive superficial praise, but I know you, that you don't have the love of God in yourselves. I've come in my Father's name, and you don't receive me. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. And then this, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? How can you believe? When all you're doing is seeking glory and praise for yourselves and you're not seeking the glory of God. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you've set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Jesus says, all you are concerned about is your own praise. And Jesus says, all I'm concerned about is glorifying my Father. The problem with the religious leaders, the problem with the Pharisees is that they were seeking their own glory, seeking praise from one another. They wanted all the glory for themselves instead of seeking the glory of God. Jesus sums it up well in John 12:43. They love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. He says, you cannot believe because you are seeking your own glory. You are seeking your own praise. You are seeking your own recognition. You are blinded to the glory that comes from God. You can't see it because you are so caught up in your own glory and you therefore refuse to come to me, the one who is all glorious. It's the same with you. If you seek your own glory, then you are not in Christ. You don't belong to Christ. You don't believe in Christ because glory is reserved for God alone. Jesus says the same thing in John 7. Look there. John 7, verse 17. If anyone is willing to do his will, that is God's, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true. And there is no unrighteousness in him. False teacher speaks from himself and seeks his own glory. He wants to draw attention to himself. A true teacher seeks the glory of God. A true teacher points you to the glory of Christ. A true teacher is not concerned with himself, but he wants you to know Christ and love Christ and exalt Christ. The false teachers in Galatia wanted all the glory, all the fame, all the accolades. They did not want to give glory to God. They didn't want to give glory to Christ. So these false teachers were simply there to make a good showing in the flesh. How did they do that? In particular, notice again in verse 12, they try to compel you to be circumcised. All they cared about was how many people they could get circumcised so that it would be all about them, all about their ministry, and how many converts they won. Does that sound familiar? Say, well, what do you mean? It's easy to think this way as a church. Let's see how many baptisms we can get this year so that we can boast in ourselves. Let's see how many people we can bring into the membership of the church to see how great we are. I mean, just look at all the work we're doing for the Lord, and yet it is a smokescreen for your own pride. You can become so enamored, and we can become so enamored as a church with numbers, and that we look good instead of shepherding people and shepherding them to know the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ministry for them was all about show. It was all about the outward appearance. And again, it can be for that way for us as well. I mean, look at how many programs we have. Look at how many ministries we're involved with. Again, look at how many baptisms we had. And this can be very dangerous because we can think that we're doing all of this ministry for the glory of God when in fact we're doing it for the glory of self. So as Philip Ryken says, showing off is one of the differences between true religion and false religion. False religion gets caught up in externals, like attendance figures and worship rituals. Outward religion is what cult leaders strive for when they pressure members to recruit quote-unquote new converts. It's what churches are after when they seek to entertain rather than to edify, or when they base salvation on what people do for God rather than on what God has done for them, end quote. Ministry in the local church should not be about outward appearance, but about the inward change that takes place in the heart, that takes place when the Holy Spirit regenerates a sinner's heart, and that heart changes so that you worship God and you seek to point others to Him and to His glory. So that everything we do is not for show. It is to edify and encourage, and again, once again, help others see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is what Paul said in Galatians 4. And again, this is the heart of a true pastor. Look at Galatians 4, verse 19. And really should be the heart of the church. He says, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." There is the heart of ministry. To see Christ formed in you. What I want as a shepherd is to see you love Christ more and more and more. That you would love Him, that you would worship Him, that you would praise Him, that you would exalt Him, that you would honor Him. That is my desire for you, that I would see Christ formed in you. And that should be your desire as well. There was a reason why these false teachers compelled the Galatians to get circumcised. It was for show, but also it was to avoid persecution. Again, in verse 12, they compel you to be circumcised simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. They won't do anything if it costs them something. Another mark of a false teacher. Bunch of cowards. They're not willing to suffer for Christ. They want all of the glory as long as it doesn't cost them anything. They were not willing to preach the truth. Why? Because the truth is offensive. The truth is going to cost you, and I don't care who you are. If you preach the truth to one degree or another, you will be persecuted. There is a cost to proclaiming the truth of the gospel. Sure, they made their way into the church. They snuck in. And they do that because they sounded so right. They said Jesus again is the Savior. He's the Messiah. But they would not go so far as to say that salvation was by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. They wouldn't renounce the law of Moses as their basis for salvation. That would bring about persecution from these other religious leaders. Preaching the cross invites persecution. Say why? Because you're telling people they are sinners. You're telling people that they are under the wrath of God, that they are judged by God, and there is no way to escape His judgment. unless they repent of their sins and they trust in Christ alone for salvation. You're telling people they are sinners and there is no way for them to save themselves. That is as offensive as a message as you can possibly get. It is. People don't want to hear they're sinners. People don't want to hear they're under the very judgment of God. People think they're good. We've said that many times as we've gone through Galatians. People think they're good, that God will not judge them, that they can certainly, that they've done enough good in their lives so that they will inherit the kingdom of God, and you cut all of that down? No, you're not good. In fact, you're evil, and you're a sinner. And if you don't repent of your sin, you will die, and you will go to hell, and you will be under God's wrath forever. Wow, that sounds really popular. They don't want to hear that. But that is the message you must proclaim. But these false teachers wouldn't do that. They were proud. They were boastful. They were cowards. They were hypocrites. And by the way, you can be all these things as well. It's not just false teachers. It can be you too. It's the point. This is what it means to boast in yourself and not boast in Christ. Look at verse 13. They're hypocrites. For those who are circumcised, they don't even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. Again, it's all about outward appearance. They look so good on the outside. It looks like they're so holy, so righteous, and they think that they're just so fastidious in keeping the law, but they lower the standard of the law to make it look like they keep it. And that's what you have to do if you're a legalist. If you think you can earn your salvation by keeping the law, the word of God, you have to lower the standard because it's not possible to obey the law and keep the law. If you think you can earn your salvation by your works, by the law, then you have to keep all of it. And you have to keep all of it perfectly. Again, go back to chapter 3. And look with me at verse 10. Very clear. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now, verse 11, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. These false teachers were teaching the Galatians they were not saved because they weren't keeping the law. You have to be circumcised. That's the first step. And you have to keep abiding by the law in order to be saved. And the false teachers weren't doing that. They were hypocrites. Again, Jesus says the same thing about the scribes and the Pharisees. They're hypocrites. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, he said, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses, the place of honor, the place of recognition. And notice that they've seated themselves there. They have placed themselves in that position. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. Doesn't mean they're all wrong. Doesn't mean everything they say is wrong. But do and observe what they tell you, and it's right and according to the word of God. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They don't practice what they preach. They, verse 4, tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. They won't even do what they're telling you to do. But listen to this. And once again, it comes back to their pride. But they do all of their deeds to be noticed by men. They do everything to be noticed by men. They brought in their phylacteries and they lengthen the tassels of their garments. They just look so holy. And they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. It's all about them. It's all about their own glory. It's all about their own pride. It has nothing to do with the glory of God. It has nothing to do with the glory of Christ. So you can either, number one, boast in your flesh. It's either all about you and your own glory, which just simply leads to damnation. Glorify yourself. You'll be judged by God because he does not share his glory with another. So then secondly, you can glorify Christ. And this is what we do as Christians. This is who we are in Christ. And so Paul, he says in verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. This is what it's all about. This is what life as a Christian is about. This is what it means to be in union with Christ. It's all about Christ. It's all about his glory. It's all about boasting in the cross. And what does that mean? It means, as one said, to boast in, glory in, trust in, rejoice in, revel in, live for. The object of our boast or glory fills our horizons, engrosses our attention, and absorbs our time and energy. In a word, our glory is our obsession. And for Paul, Christ was everything. The cross was everything. He realized by God's grace, there was nothing he could do to save himself. There was nothing he could do to earn his salvation. It was all of Christ. And as I've said before, as we've gone through Galatians, it is either all of Christ or it is none of Christ. Paul did not take pride in his works, did not take pride in his accomplishments or his abilities, and we don't either. We don't boast in those things. We boast in Christ. Paul said this in Philippians 3:3, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul loved Christ. He says this in Galatians 2:20, he was just amazed with Christ. He was amazed with the gospel. He was amazed with salvation. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And now Paul preaches Christ. It's everything for him. He knows it's the only way of salvation. Even in this letter, in all of his letters, it is all about Christ. It is all about the cross. And that should never bore us. This should all the more amaze us. The more we think about the cross, the more we think about the gospel, the more we think about Christ, it should amaze us. It should fill us with joy. That we should say with Paul, be amazed that Christ loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians, again, 2:20. It is Christ who died for us. Galatians chapter 3, and he says in verse 1, he says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before eyes, whose eyes Christ, Jesus Christ, was publicly portrayed as crucified. Or Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Christ became a curse for us. Christ on the cross was cursed by God. As God's wrath was poured out on Christ for our sins in our place, for our judgment, for our punishment. Does that amaze you? Does that amaze you? It should. It should bring you unending and unceasing joy. Paul just went on preaching the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:23, we preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You'd say, well, how do I apply this? How do I boast in the cross? Let me ask you a few questions. How often do you think about and talk about and find joy in the cross of Christ? Is that a topic of conversation that you have when you are with people, especially with other believers? Are you talking about the gospel? Are you talking about the cross? Are you talking about Christ? Are you talking about how amazing the Lord Jesus Christ is? That's how we boast in the cross. Or do you boast in your own accomplishments? Do you boast in your own abilities? Do you boast in yourself? If you do, you're not giving glory to Christ. We are to boast, but we're to boast in Christ. Go back to chapter 6, verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work. Then he'll have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. Again, this is a boasting in Christ. When you see Christ at work in you and through you, you glorify him by giving him the glory. That's what Paul said again in Romans 15, 17 and 18. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Just listen to that, would you? And I want you to think about that. This is how I want you to apply it. For I will not venture to speak of anything except of what Christ has accomplished through me. That's how you boast in the cross. And it's so easy to forget that. It's easy to say, look at who I am and look at what I have done. No, Paul says, may it never be. All I am going to do is boast in the cross. Why boast in the cross? Because it's the only way, again, by which we are saved. The cross is the only way by which we are delivered from the wrath of God. The cross shows us God's love for us. The cross means, and we're adopted. We belong in the kingdom. We're in his family. We are loved by him. The cross shows us that we have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. The cross shows us that we are accepted and forgiven forever. Why do you think we come here every week? Why do we gather for worship? It's the cross. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I want you to notice what happens when we are in Christ, when we boast about and glory in the cross. Paul says in verse 14, I don't boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world is this evil world system dominated by Satan. It's the godless values and ideologies that are in this world. It's a world that is against God and against his word and against his truth. But we have been crucified to the world. That is, we have died to the world. We don't think the way the world thinks or act the way the world acts because we are in union with Christ. And that's why he says in verse 15, we are a new creation in Christ. As believers, we don't care what the world thinks. We don't care what the world does. We don't care what the world says. It's all godless. It's all set up against God and against his word. All we care about is what Christ says and what is in his word, and we're going to do everything to glorify him. We have died to this world. We belong to another world. We belong to the kingdom of God. We are citizens of heaven and not of this world. So we are a new creation. That's why he says, verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. For the Judaizers, circumcision was everything. It meant salvation, but the cross demolished that. We are saved not by works, but by grace through faith in Christ. We know that salvation is not by effort, it's not by works, it's by grace through faith. So we are a new creation by God's grace through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not in regards to salvation. That means nothing. What matters is if you are a new creation in Christ, that you've been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you've been made alive spiritually by the Holy Spirit. And if you are, then verse 16, those who walk by this rule, meaning those who understand and recognize that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ, then peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. When you come to true faith in Christ, you have peace. You have peace, peace with God. And you have mercy. The mercy, remember, is God withholding from you what you do deserve. That is his judgment. He says, this is yours in Christ. You have peace with God. You have mercy. You're no longer under God's judgment. And he says that to these Gentile believers. And he says that as well to the Jews, because he says it upon the Israel of God. That is the Jewish people. That if they come to faith in Christ, peace and mercy is available to them. Really shocking. Obviously, the Jews have rejected their Messiah. They've rejected Christ. And yet, Paul says if they would come to Christ, then peace and mercy would be upon them as well. So Paul says this, peace and mercy is available to all, Jew and Gentile alike. And the way you obtain peace and mercy is by the way of the cross. That's the point of Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And Paul concludes with one last warning. He says to these Galatians, verse 17, don't cause trouble for me any longer, for I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. Says, stop causing trouble for me. Stop believing the false message of these Judaizers and cause more suffering because I am persecuted for Christ and I have scars to prove it. And just read through the scripture and you'll see all the persecution that Paul went through. In fact, in Galatia, he was almost stoned to death. He says, I have enough to deal with these false teachers, let alone you who are not believing the truth of the gospel. Paul says, I'll gladly suffer for your sakes, for the sake of the gospel, but don't bring more suffering on me by believing these false teachers. Believe the gospel. Continue to believe in Christ and live for his glory. And he ends with this benediction, and I'll end here as well. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Father, we are so blessed. We are so thankful for the cross of Christ. Because without the cross, without the death of Jesus Christ, there would be no forgiveness of sin. There would be no reconciliation with you. There would be no eternal life. So I pray that we would boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would boast in Christ alone. That we would do everything for the honor and the glory of your holy name. Let your name be praised. Let your name be honored. Let your name be glorified. That is our true joy. And if we are in union with Christ, we long for that day, that we will be with you forever and throughout eternity, where we will do nothing except boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, boast in your glory. But until that day, I pray that we would continue to find joy in giving you all of the praise and all of the glory through the cross of Christ by the power of your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.